chapter 27. We're glad you're here this morning. Proverbs chapter 27. And we're going to be reading out of verse one passage of scripture, verse number 6. And we're going to move right on. I believe Karen's got a good dinner, and I'll tell you what, we're going to let out at 12 exactly. I don't believe in going to church after 12 o'clock. Amen. No, it just gets good at 12 o'clock. But nonetheless, we do want to get into it. Love y'all. Missed y'all. Glad you again. Appreciate everybody filling in for me and helping and being faithful while I was gone. I mean that. I really do appreciate it. We met some great people out there and really had a good time. But Proverbs got to preach the word this morning. Lord, help me to get my mind on the business. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 6. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I want to read that again. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I want to preach a message today. It's been on my heart for quite a while. Several months, in fact, and I really was never, I just literally this morning is when like God said, preach it today. I want to preach a message entitled, Kissing the Snake That's Going to Swallow You. Kissing the snake that's going to swallow you. The Bible says here that that there's a friend and there's an enemy. In this passage of scripture, you look, there's two sets of threes here. First of all, there's a friend, then there's an enemy. The friend wounds you, but the friend is faithful. The enemy kisses you, but he's deceitful. The most sickening sight, I can't even watch it. I mean, I want to get an axe. I don't like even seeing a snake swallow a mouse. Now, you may enjoy that. I don't. I'm glad snakes eat mice. I don't like mice, but I don't like seeing them swallow. There's just something about a snake cornering something up or getting something enticed, and then all of a sudden he grabs him and working that stupid thing. I was down there here a while back, and some guys in Arkansas was logging, and they'd killed a big rattlesnake, and that rattlesnake had a whole squirrel inside of him. They said he had a big old hole, you know, big old spot in him, and said, we knew he'd ate something. And said he cut him open on a complete squirrel. And I mean, I got to thinking about that stupid snake grabbing hold of that squirrel. How in the world did he ever let that squirrel get close enough to him? I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible teaches that Satan is a serpent. And the Bible teaches that if you let him kiss you, he's an enemy and he'll swallow you. And I want to preach on that today. Just as a way of introduction, let me say this out in Glacier National Park. And it was founded in 1910. The government set aside as a national park. And from 1910 to 1967, they have no recorded attacks of bears or death of people by bears until 1967. But on the night of August the 12th, something happened, 1967. And I'm going to tell you about that at the end of the message here today. As I said, first of all, the Bible says that we have a friend, and that friend wounds, and that friend is faithful. You say, Reggie, who would that friend be? The Bible teaches us that God our Father is our friend. Abraham was a friend of God. I'm going to tell you, if I've ever had a friend, it's my Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father loved me while I was yet in my sin. And before the world was ever framed or founded, he foreordained that His Son would be a sacrifice for my sin. And no man don't have a greater friend than him that lays down his life for his friend. The Bible teaches us that Jesus, our Savior, is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm glad whenever everybody else has faded away and gone away, he's still my friend. I've had times in my life when I was so sorry and low down and worthless and failed so bad and sinned so bad that I didn't feel like I hardly had it and situation in the devil, like I ain't got a friend in this world. But I want you to know something today. You've got a friend in your Heavenly Father. You've got a friend in the Lord Jesus. And I want to stop right now and say, thank you, men, for helping me preach. Because it sure does help me. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, I like an old time. I ain't living in no dead church. I ain't pastoring no dead church. I ain't going to no dead church. And I tell you, we've got something to shout about, something to be glad about, something to rejoice about, something to praise Him about. We've got a friend that sits closer than a brother, a friend that will never leave us and never forsake us. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. I'll tell you another, that old song, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry to Him everything to God in prayer. I think about Brother Dale back here, and he's had every... Dale, where have you got any spots on your body ain't been operated on?
Not many.
I didn't think you did. Have you ever laid in a bed in the hospital wondering if you had any friends? Reggie ain't called. Nobody from church is called. I've been thinking about Dean over there and he's fighting his cancer. And I get to think about this guy and that guy. I went down to Charles Hicks yesterday and I tell you, he's got three kind of cancers. I'm going to tell you, he ain't got nobody living with him. Wasn't for Sister Diane. I don't know who he'd have in this whole world. But I'm saying to you this, old Charles, I got ready to leave. And he said, Reggie, let's pray. And boy, I knelt down there by his recliner chair. No, Charles started praying. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, that old man prayed. Boy, I'll tell you what, he just talked to God. It wasn't no, oh, thou holy Father, all this stuff. He just started talking to God. Like you could just tell he'd been talking to Him before in that chair. He had a friend that's down there when Reggie couldn't be. When Reggie was vacationing in Montana, he had a friend down there at his house. I'm going to tell you, when you're laying on your sick bed and whenever everything went south and when you went broke, you still got a friend in Jesus. But I'm going to tell you about that friend. I'm glad I got a friend in the Holy Ghost too. Amen. You see, there's the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, and they're all your friend. And we have a friend, and the Holy Ghost is my comforter. I went out on the, sat on a stump and sat on a rock and hung my head and prayed, and I tell you, the Holy Ghost come nudge up beside me and say, Reggie, it's all right. I loved you before you was ever saved. I still love you now. I loved you when you was vomiting puke and liquor. I still love you now. I loved you when you was rotten into the core and wicked. If I loved you then, Reggie, I love you now. And the Holy Ghost to comfort me and nudge up next to me. And the Bible said that He'd dwell with us forever. And He'd guide us into all truth. And I'll tell you, I bet you know what I'm talking about this morning when nobody else is around. You've got a friend in your Heavenly Father. You've got a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got a friend in the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you all that, but I've had a few other friends in life. There sits one of them right there, my daddy. My daddy's one of the best friends I've got on the face of this earth. And you know what a friend will do to you once in a while? A friend, the Bible says, will wound you. Now you listen to me good this morning. I'm going to preach my heart out to you, my soul out to you. But you need a friend that will wound you once in a while. You don't need somebody nudging up to you and kissing you and act like they think the world of you when they've got something an evil minded for you all the time. And let me say to you that there's also an enemy. But I want to say this before I go off on the enemy. I've had a friend, I've had a daddy who's a pastor, who's been my daddy, a parent. And can I tell you kids something this morning? That don't you let the devil tell you that your mom and daddy's not your friend. They may not be the best in the world, and none of us are. But don't you let the devil tell you that your mom and dad is not your friend, that they're trying to help you, that they want the very best for you. And you might, and by the way, don't you let him tell that I'm your friend, I'm your pastor, and don't you let that back there and let the devil tell you that I'm not your friend. I am your friend. I want you to be saved. I want you to be walk with God. I want your life to be the happiest it can possibly be. I am your friend. But once in a while, the pastor has to wound you. You need to learn something about a true friend. Your friend in heaven and your friend, real true friends on earth are going to wound you every once in a while. And the wounds that they give you are because they are faithful to the Word of God. Let me tell you about God the Father. He'll wound you once in a while. If you're here this morning, you're lost. God will wound you. The Bible said He wounds and then He heals. God says that He kills and He makes alive. And I'm saying this to you that as a lost person here today, God will wound you with conviction. I'll tell you, God will convict you, and He'll wound you, and He'll make you realize you're guilty. And I'll tell you something else. He may bring guilt into your life. He may bring sorrow and loss in your life. I wouldn't know how many people down through the years have told me, hey, Reggie, it was because of this loss or this tragedy or this sorrow that brought me to the Lord. What was that? It was a faithful friend who wounded you to bring you to Christ. And if you're here today and you're lost, I want to tell you something. God loves you. And God's going to wound you. God's going to bring some hurt and some pain and some sorrow into your life. But He'll be faithful in that to bring you to Himself. Can I say further? That Jesus Christ was wounded. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The wounds of Jesus Christ is what is His faithfulness has saved us and washed us from our sins. And by His stripes we are healed. It's even His wounds there. But I want to say to those of us who are saved. Now listen to me. You're saved today. Your Heavenly Father, your friend, the Lord Jesus, going to wound you. God's going to wound you. I'll tell you what, my daddy, I was 13 years old. I got rebellious as hell. I mean, I was headed down a bad path, and I'm not going through the whole story, but you know it. Probably got it memorized. But that man right there whooped the living daylights out of me, and I was 13 years old. He knocked me across the living room. He jerked me up and had his belt. He whooped me to, I don't think he was worried about me. I think he just got tired. The next morning, he met me at the foot of the stairway with a case pocket knife and I said, go cut me a switch. I'm still mad. And he whooped me before I went to church. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I've ever done you an ounce of good, if I've ever done you an ounce of good as your pastor, you go thank that man right there. Because he wounded me and he set me, his wounds were faithful. He said, I'm your daddy. I love you. I'm not going to let you go to hell like that. You're not going to live like that as my son and not live in this house. And some of you kids need to realize you got a mom and daddy whoops the daylights out of you. They're going to wound you. They love you. They're being faithful to you. You need somebody. There's kids all over the world that are dying and going to hell because they ain't got a mom and daddy loves enough to wound them. Got somebody enough to say, hey, that ain't right. Can I tell you something? You young kids in this church, I love you. But I don't tell you, if I know you're on the wrong path, and I walk up to you, I meet you in the hallway someday, and I say to you, you're on the wrong path. Don't you hate my guts for saying that? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to love you. I'm trying to be faithful to you as a pastor. So I'm saying this to you. For the saved, God may chastise you. He may send sickness into your life. I don't know. Not all sickness is. But it does say over there in 1 Corinthians 11 that some were weak and some were sickly and some even died. They were asleep because of chastisement. Sometimes God will send financial loss into your life as a chastisement. God will speak to you, then God will spank you if that don't work, and then if the spanking don't work, He'll scourge you. And when you come out of that scourging, I promise you something, He's going to have your attention. God is faithful to wound us, to wake us up, and to get us back on the right track, and I'm thankful for that. God is faithful. He never deceives you. God is not playing games. God is not playing some cruel game. God is not doing something that doesn't need to be done. God is faithful. He's doing it because it needs to be done. The Bible said, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Paul said, it is not for your destruction. Now, I've been chastened plenty. The Bible said He chastens every son whom He receiveth. So we've talked about the friend for just a moment today. That He's faithful, that He wounds us, that He truly is our friend. But I want to talk to you about the enemy today. The one the Bible says here that will kiss you. And in the kissing, deceive you. Judas, you remember, is a classic picture of this in the Bible. He walked up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible said, kissed Him, and He'd already told him, He whom I kiss, that's Him, take it. And he walked up and called Him Master and kissed Him on the cheek. But his whole intent was to sell Him out and destroy Him. He's a picture of Satan. Joab, in the Old Testament, called up Abner there as if he wanted to talk to him. And he grabbed a hold of him, and the Old Testament deal was, you walk up and they kind of give this kiss, and that Bible calls it a holy kiss. I don't like holy kisses. Don't be kissing on me. Amen. But they would walk up, and he made him think that he was his friend, that he wanted to talk to him. And the Bible said he put a sword up through his fifth rib, and that he wallowed in the ground. He was kissing on him, but he was killing him. You listen to me this morning. You have an enemy. You have an enemy. I want every young person, every parent, every person to listen. You have an enemy called Satan. You have an enemy called your flesh. You have an enemy called the world. Those three are basically wrapped up into one almost. And they are your enemy and they're out to destroy you, to swallow you up. Satan, the Bible calls him that old serpent. The Bible said he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Kissing the snake. When Eve was in the Garden of Eden, you know what he was doing to her? He was kissing her up. That's what he was doing. He was telling her lies, kissing her up. Oh, you won't die. He's just afraid you'll become as gods and know evil from good. He's holding things back from you. I'm going to tell you about the devil. He'll kiss you up. He'll try to tell you that that which is going to kill you, it'll be a blessing to you and it brings pleasure and promises to you. The Bible teaches us the flesh, that there's no good in it. And yet the flesh will kiss up to you. The world is going to hell. God says this world is not a friend of Christ, and whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But this world will kiss up to you. It will slowly coil itself around you, and eventually, when you find out what's happened, you've been kissed and coiled until you're unable to get out of the trap. I want to give you a few areas of warning about quit kissing the snake that'll swallow you this morning, and we're going to the house. Number one, let me say this to you. You say, Reg, you don't need to preach this in this church. Yes, I do. I want to tell you, liquor is a snake that will kiss you and take you to hell, swallow you up. All over this country, preachers have almost quit preaching against liquor. I mean, everybody's just kind of gave into it. Well, everybody's going to drink. And the war's over in America about liquor. Well, the war's not over in this church. The war's not over in this congregation. I'm telling you right now, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. And whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. Liquor will kiss you, and it'll make you think you're having a good time, and then it'll swallow you up. It'll swallow your family. It'll swallow your marriage. It'll swallow your children up. Liquor's killed. I'll tell you what, it makes me sick. A bunch of hypocrites in America going to have a war on drugs. Why don't they have a war on liquor? Because it was the liquor that gave license to the drugs. There's not a young person in America that's sucking on a marijuana cigarette or putting a needle in his arm. But what if his dad and mom's drinking and said, don't talk to me about my drugs. The day you lay down your liquor, I'll lay down my drugs. I want to tell you right now, I hope nobody in this building drinks. But if you do, you're being deceived. You're kissing the snake that's going to swallow you. You say, I want to tell you what, a little bud don't hurt nothing. I like to have a little bud in the afternoon and I come home to work. Yeah, you tinker around and I tell you what will happen to you. It'll be like that girl that went out with her friends and they had a wreck and all four girls was killed in the car wreck. And that man went crazy and he went to his refrigerator to get a drink and there was a note in there, Dear Dad, I didn't think you'd mind me borrowing your Bud Light case. Yep. The problem was that snake he had kissed got hold of his daughter, took her out, she got drunk, Daddy drinks, it's all right for me to drink, I'll drink with my friends and they had a car wreck and killed them all. Yep. You listen to me, liquor's horrible, it's wicked. Yep. I tell you what, listen, vomit yourself out, ruin your liver. Kill somebody on the highway. Beat your wife. Neglect your children. Preachers need to keep preaching on liquor. Liquor is a snake that'll kiss you and then it'll swallow you. I'm your preacher. I love you. If you're drinking, you need to quit it. You need to quit it. Going to get you. It's a snake that'll swallow you. Not only liquor, but tobacco. Preachers have quit preaching on tobacco. You say, well, it don't say in the Bible, thou shalt not smoke. I know that. But I'll tell you something ain't good for you and it sure hurts your testimony. I ain't never seen a guy sucking a cigarette walk up somebody, hand him a tract and say, I sure hope you go to heaven. That don't happen. No, I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll hide that pack of cigarettes in the glove box of the car, go gargle with some Listerine, and then do their track passing. But they not anybody, everybody got more sense than to walk up to a guy sucking a cigarette or spitting a big wad out and talking about Jesus. It does hurt your testimony. You know it hurts your testimony, much less hurt your life. I just dealt with a guy the other day. They said, Reggie, he ain't got no chance. He's drunk himself and smoked himself to death. Still smoking, got problems, said he won't quit. You know what? I don't care if the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something. I used to chew good money chewing tobacco. I always carried a twist in my pocket. But I'm going to tell you what, I still cough. I've got a chronic throat problem because of it today. I never did get rid of it. I never will get rid of it. And it's a reminder of me of the price that I paid for chewing that junk. I'm going to tell you another thing you guys don't do. If you do, you're sorry, low down. You never come home, throw your arm around your wife, and give her a great big kiss when your juice is running out of your mouth either, do you? It's not more than once. Amen. Not more than once. Hey, the best thing I'll ever do. I'm going to tell you something. How old are you? You're 13? You look like you're 18. I got to find somebody else that ain't grown up early. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be out someday. You're going to get away from mom and daddy. You're going to get around some friends. They're going to ask you to do smoke or they're going to ask you to drink or do something. You're going to find out who you are. You're going to find out who you ain't. Some of you kids, I'm sick and tired of kids growing up in this church and they sit there and they play the part and act the part and talk the part. And I tell you, they get hit with something out there and if they just fall over and play the way like nothing. Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, that tobacco will give you cancer. Yeah. It ain't good for you. Now I'm going to preach on it. Had a guy tell me what he said, oh, if you was up in our part of the country, you wouldn't preach on liquor. Said everybody drinks just a little bit in moderation. I said, yes, I would. I'm going to Georgia to preach here in about 3 months. Going to preach a revival down in Georgia. I promise you, I'll mention cigarettes and tobacco when I get there. Or I'll mention liquor. Well, Ronnie Simpson said, you don't suck the cigarettes. He said, you don't smoke a cigarette, you suck it. Yeah. That makes you a sucker. Yeah. Amen. Hey, kids, don't smoke cigarettes. How many of you kids would say this morning, I tell you what, Brother Reggie, I'll tell you what, if God be in my helper, I'm not going to drink and I'm not going to suck on cigarettes the rest of my life. Would you raise your hand? Amen. All right, hey, you're doing that for God right now. How many of you mom and daddy say that? Your kids raise their hand. How many of you mom and daddy say that? Karen, you ain't never smoked. I ain't worried about you smoking. But she's willing. I'll tell you something right now. You know what you've got to do? You've got to make up your mind. You ain't going to kiss the snake. You ain't going to kiss the snake. Kiss the snake. Kiss the snake. Kiss the snake. No, you say, Reggie, what else? I'm talking about drugs a little bit. Drugs, a snake that'll kiss you. And I'll tell you, he'll swallow you so fast, make your head swim. They say that on methamphetamines, all you need is one time. And it'll addict you right then. I'm going to tell you right now, hey, you know, when you kiss, you know, Ezra, when you better make up your mind that you ain't going to do drugs, right here, right now. You're not going to decide out there at some party or with a bunch of friends somewhere. You ain't going to decide that day. You're going to have to decide right now. Ezra, you probably ought to go sit at the back. You're too handy. No, I appreciate you being here. You say you're raised by some good parents right here. You've had a lot of good examples, but they're going to come a day. You're going to find out who you are. Yeah. I'll tell you something. I don't want you spending your life with. I don't want to walk up to you someday with a bunch of needle marks in your arms. Amen. I don't want to see you some dry out clinic with it. I'll tell you right now. If they're really got a war on drugs, they ought to show, they ought to make advertisements, and I'm sure the government can afford it with your tax dollars. They ought to make advertisements showing what it's really doing to people. Show them in the gutter. Show them in the field. Show them destroyed. Show them dying. Show them dying. Show them in the casket. You'll kiss it. Let me tell you something. This other thing is immorality. You kids stay away from drugs. I'm telling you, stay away from drugs. Don't you be doping no cigarette, no marijuana. There ain't no such, and by the way, don't be getting into your mom and daddy's drugs. I don't know much about drugs. Don't want to know a lot. But I hear there's more kids taking doing dope off of legal drugs than there are illegal drugs. Yeah. I don't know. But stay away from it. The only drug that needs to be in this church is you being drugged to church. Well, listen to me this morning. I don't want to come and visit you in the hospital 10 years from now. And you laying there, wielded up and destroyed, your body destroyed, your mind and heart and spirit destroyed by drugs. Let me tell you another one, that's immorality. Immorality is a snake that will kiss you. Are you listening to me? That pornography will kiss you and tell you, oh, this is going to be fun, this is going to be pleasurable, this is going to be enjoyable. You're going to watch that stinking pornography and I'm going to tell you what, you're going to kiss that snake and that snake's going to swallow you up. You would not believe the number of preachers in America that are being knocked out of the ministry by pornography. You would not believe how much porn is being, the billions and billions and billions of dollars being spent on porn. And I'm going to tell you something that shocks the daylights out of me. It's women almost as bad as it is men, they say. Isn't that sick? I know of a situation not 15 miles from here on a dairy farm where a man's wife just disappeared. She left. Finally called back. She was, I think, up in Chicago with some idiot she had met on the internet. They had a hacker to come in and hack her computer at the house down in her basement. And the man told me, he said, Reggie, you have never in your life seen such vile, wicked trash and filth, the lowest gutter stuff you've ever seen. That woman was watching and they were live streaming to each other. You sitting here this morning in this church, you're kissing porn. I'm going to tell you something right now. God is going to find you out. You listen to me. The Bible said, God said, be sure your sin will find you out. I don't want porn destroying people in this church house. I don't want it destroying me. I don't want it destroying you. And you've got it all around you. You are going to have to discipline yourself and do like David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And you're going to have to mean it. I'll tell you what, that porn will kiss you. You remember the movie there that they put out, the guy, Fireproof? You know what the problem in that marriage was? How many saw it? It's pornography. That's what was killing that marriage. Let me tell you something. Me and your wife will not try to compete with all them sluts out there. It will pervert a marriage. It'll pervert a relationship. And you're going to kiss around that porn and you're going to wake up one of these days and I'm going to tell you the serpent's got you in his mouth and you're going to wiggle, 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 but you can't get out. The damage is done. I want to talk about fornication. Fornication is specific in the Bible. It's sexual activity prior to marriage. I want to tell you, it's just as much sin as it was. Can I tell you something in the Old Testament? If a girl married a guy and claimed she was a virgin in the Old Testament, and the guy went to wedding with her and found out she wasn't, how many knows what happened to that girl? She was brought before the elders and they stoned her. That's how important virginity was. You young kids, listen to me. Fornication is still wrong. It's always been wrong. It'll always be wrong. You keep yourself. You say, Reggie, I've done messed up. Well, I'll tell you what you can do. You start off today with a brand new slate. You can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven of that sin and you can start over again. Amen? Amen. Let me give you another thing this morning. Not just fornication, but adultery. Adultery. Now you listen to me. I'm sick. I am sick and tired. Now listen to me. I realize that the internet may have some value. We have about 6,000-8,000 people listening to the messages on the internet every month. I hope to goodness this does some good. I think it is. But I'm going to tell you something else. That internet and that Facebook and that texting business can kill your marriage. And you know I'm telling you the truth. Ed and I was over there at the Hartville on a jury deal. Statutory rape situation. Bad. Guy was guilty. But it come out during the trial that that little teenage girl had been texting people naked pictures of herself. Now I want to tell you something, girls. Let me tell you what the world's going to kiss you with. It's acceptance. The world and the flesh and the devil knows that you want to be accepted. You want to be accepted more than anything in this world. You want attention. Girls, you have a weakness. That weakness is that you want to be noticed. You want attention. A man wants admiration. A woman wants attention. And I'm going to tell you, we're a low life in America now whenever girls send naked pictures of themselves out on the internet and Facebook so people pay attention to them. Yeah. Listen, girls, I love you. Boys, I love you. You stay away, but I want to tell you mom and dad something. Looks to me like what all I'm hearing, there's more going on texting and Facebooking and adultery garbage going on the internet among married men and married women. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not God, but God knows your heart. And I'm preaching this morning, we got a holy God. God loves you. God wants the very best for you. But you're going to play around. And I'm going to tell you what the devil's going to do. He's going to walk up and he's going, ooh, you're missing out. Look at this over here. Look at that gal. They're going to be some old slut. I want to tell you right now, hey, if a woman texts you or Facebooks you or does some kind of garbage like that and you smell something wrong with that, you know right then that woman's not right. You know right then her heart's not right. You know immediately she's sorry, low down. It's going to swallow you. Swallow your marriage. It's going to get more than your marriage. It's going to get your kids. You heard, if you was in Sunday school class, you never heard a more potent testimony what that man back there gave this morning about what happened, bitterness. I want to tell you right now, all over this country, and I'm your preacher, I love you. You say, I'll tell you what, you're making me mad. You're wounding me. The wounds of a friend are faithful. I'll tell you what, you know why God's got us in church? We need church. You know why God has preaching? Because God knows we need preaching. We need preaching against sin. Listen, this country's going to hell. Our marriages are being blown apart. Families busted out just like an atom bomb hit them. I'll give you something to think about, Dad and Mom, before you start your texting, your Facebooking, and all your internet connections, all right? I want you to look about 3 years down the road. You got a little 2-year-old baby girl or 2-year-old baby boy. So, yeah, you get your stinking divorce. Let me tell you something about divorce. God says that He hates putting away. He hates it. He hates it. I'm going to tell you why God hates it. You're going to go off and marry that. Or you're going to move in with that. And then there's going to be some night whenever your former spouse is gone and your kid is going to be in that house with that pervert. And he's going to molest your child. You sorry low down mama, you ain't going to say nothing about it because you're already swallowed. You can't say anything about it. You had it fixed in your heart that it was God's will for you to leave them or that husband. You already got it fixed in your head. Oh, I had to leave her. You'd be surprised how many spouses know something's bad going on with their children and the second spouse or the third or fourth spouse, but they can't say anything about it. They're already trapped, already swallowed. I want to ask you something. Before you ever decide to have a divorce and marry somebody else, I want you to envision that somebody else taking your child and doing things with them that you'd kill them for. Are you listening to me? I know this ain't nice preaching, but we don't need some nice preaching this day. We need something to jar you up and make you think about what you're doing. I'll tell you, I pray nearly every day that God will not allow any divorces in this church. I'll tell you right now, divorce is wrong. And I realize that there are people who have been put away who did all they could to keep it together. But I want to tell you a little something. You stood up there and you swore before God Almighty. You gave an oath to stay together till death did you part. Death. You say, well, you don't know what it's like to live with it. Why didn't you say that when you was up there? I don't want to be mean. I don't want to wound you. But I'd rather be faithful. I am not going to stand before the judgment bar of Almighty God. And you look at me and say, you were my pastor. You were our preacher. You didn't say anything about it. You coward. You'd probably gnash on me with your teeth at that moment. Say, why on God's heaven didn't you preach against divorce? Why didn't you preach against immorality? Why didn't you preach on adultery? Your silence, that you gave consent. Ask David. You say, oh, David, man, after God's own. Yeah, I want to tell you something. He was swallowed by that act of adultery, and it swallowed the rest of his life. Never was the same. Sodomites. Some of you are kissing ungodly music. It's going to swallow you. I don't know of nothing. Music is more powerful than drugs. You listen to the wrong kind of music, and it'll swallow you up. You listen to me. You're looking at a preacher. You think I'm not spiritual, Brother Lonnie. You know what? I can't, now I know I'm stupid and far behind times, okay? But I can't listen to Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings. Now I know that's 50 years ago and I don't know who's singing now, but you get the message. You know why I can't? Because there's all time singing about sitting in a bar stool looking at somebody else's wife or being in bed with somebody else's wife and you sit there for 8 hours and that garbage goes in your head. Ungodly music. Some of you've got that romantic, soft, contemporary Christian music in your track. Oh, it's religious, but it makes me feel fleshly too. You ain't fooling nobody. The snake's kissing you. The cults will kiss you. False doctrines will kiss you. False prophets. Let me tell you what happened to you when you get bitter like we talked in Sunday school class this morning. You go looking for a false doctrine. You'll carve out a God that suits your lifestyle. My God don't have anything wrong with playing, doesn't have any problem with playing the lottery. This God does. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. Education system in America swallowed up untold. Take them kids in there and start teaching them sodomy's all right. Sex education, evolution. Spiritual deadness, it's the spiritual deadness that gets them, swallows them up. An unequal yoke can swallow you up. But I'm going to tell you, I preached on a lot of things this morning, and I preached right. But I'm going to give you something that gets more of us than all that put together, and that's materialism. I'll tell you, there's something wrong in America. There's something bad wrong in this country. The Bible says, they that will be rich. In other words, those that want to be. Didn't say they became rich, they just want to be. pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Materialism will cause you to covet. It'll cause you not to be content. It'll cause you to be drowned in the cares of this world so that you become barren before the Lord. Your spiritual life is barren. The love of money, the Bible said, is the root of all evil. Your job, your work can swallow you up to where you no longer have any taste or appetite for the things of God. You come to church, but your whole mind is wrapped up in all that's going on in your materialistic world. Debt can swallow you up. I'm talking not this morning about materialism. It can swallow us up. We just got to have this, and we've got to have that, and we've got to have this, and we've got to have that. Now, I don't ask me what's going on in my life, but I'm telling you what God is just, He's just doing something to me. I think what it really is, I'm just an age where I'm starting to get it. It's just stuff. And somebody, can I tell you something? Karen, I hate to tell you this, someday somebody else is going to sleep in our house. If it don't get blown away or burned down, me, you ain't going to be there. Someday somebody else's name's going to be on the abstract or on the title insurance of your property. I tell you, the Bible teaches that Christians are pilgrims and strangers, and I'll tell you what, I like nice things as well as anybody, and if I had my choice about you, you'd all have a new car and a nice home. I'm serious. But I'm telling you something, better watch out, this materialism going to get you. I'm telling you something, we'll almost like sell God out to have what we think the world thinks we're supposed to have. Let me tell you another thing that will kiss you, and that's dead and apostate churches. And I can't stay here long, but I've seen the dead and apostate denominations swallow preachers up. I've seen preachers head off to seminary and Bible college, and boy, they believed God and they was on fire for God. And before they got out of that college, they'd done swallowed up in that denominational line. And all they can preach is the denominational line and bark the denominational bark. All around you, people who have kissed the snake and it swallowed them. Hollywood is a tremendous serpent. It has kissed people by the millions and swallowed them up. Marilyn Monroe sold herself to Playboy magazine for a nude picture of herself. Then went and got her a bottle of pills and wrote a note. It wasn't worth it. Paid her $1 million back in the 50s, folks, for her photo. You know what she did? The snake kissed her, and then it swallowed her. She wrote a note, said it wasn't worth it, killed herself. Elvis Presley kissed the snake of fame and fortune and the world's acceptance. They found him with rigmaritis, the side of his bed down there in Tennessee, overdosed drugs. Just recently, a rock star by the name of Prince died. Drugs. He kissed the snake, and the snake swallowed him. He let the snake kiss him. Michael Jackson, one of the most popular watched and listened to entertainers ever been in America. Do you see pictures of him in his final years, and he wasn't old? He looked like a fluke. He looked like a demon. He kissed the snake, but the snake swallowed him. David, Samson, people have kissed the snake, let the snake kiss them, and it'll swallow you every stinking time. I don't want to see the snake swallow myself, and I don't have the intention as your pastor letting it swallow you without you being warned, even if it wounds you. Amen. You say, you may be sitting there today and say, this will be the last time I ever come. I'm sorry to hear that, because you're among friends today. You're among people that love you. You got a Heavenly Father that loves you. He's trying to wound you today, get you straightened out. I want to tell you what, do right. Do right. Do right. Rebellion will kiss you, and then it'll swallow you. Bitterness will kiss you and then swallow you. Hatred and anger and envy, jealousy will kiss you and then swallow you. I want to ask you a question right now. No heads bowed, no eyes closed. What snake's kissing you today? Materialism? Oh, I want that car. Ooh, I want that house. Ooh, I want that. Ooh, I want that. Kiss me and I'll give that to you. You kiss me and I'll give that to you. If you ain't careful, you'll be swallowed up by it. Immorality?
Broken lives, broken homes, liquor. I don't care what it is. The Holy Ghost knows. Their kisses are deceitful, the Bible said. It's not going to turn out like you think it's going to turn out. I promise you. It's not going to turn out like you think it is. August the 12th, 1967, there's a boy and a girl. She was about 18, he was about 22. They left Glacier National Park headquarters and headed up toward Chalet Lake area. Beautiful hiking area. Now I'll tell you something. You say, Reggie, what's wrong with this? I got a problem with an 18-year-old girl and a 22-year-old boy that ain't married taking a hike up in the mountains and sleeping out in the stars together. I got a problem with that. That's called fornication. And if you tell me that you're going to go up there and stay in the same sleeping bags, you're a stupid liar. You don't know nothing. You think a 22-year-old boy is going to stay in his sleeping bag and an 18-year-old girl laying next to him in the cold mountain air? You're nuts. You think that she hadn't thought about that before she headed up the mountains? I'll give you another little thing. You watch this. The chalet that they were going to, the cooks had been feeding the bears in 1967, the slop, the leftover garbage out of what when they fed people. And people would hike clear back in there 7-something miles. And they would feed them, the people, and they'd sleep inside there. They fed this place where they fed the garbage at, and about midnight every night, the bears would come out, and they would tell shining lights, and everybody got a big kick. They got to see bears, got to see bears, got to see bears. Oh, that was big sight, got to see bears. Same deal, August the 12th. Nobody's ever been attacked by bears in Glacier National Park. Nobody's ever been killed by a bear. And they go up there to this deal, and this young couple, they're going to stay about 550 yards from the building. They ain't coming in. It was full anyway. They ain't even coming up by the sheds and sleeping in sheds. And people tried to tell them, say, listen, you don't want to sleep out there around the bears could get you. Oh, there ain't never been no bears. There ain't no bears bothered anybody. They ain't going to bother us. Do you know why they wanted to sleep 550 yards away from the building? Anybody know? You know why they wanted to be clear away from everybody else? Anybody know?
Yeah.
How many of you kids know?
Yep.
About midnight, people begged them not to do that. That saw him on the trail with the, you know, earlier in the evening. Said, don't do that. That's stupid. I ain't a bear. There's no bother nobody. No, they're kissing the bear. About midnight, he said that she said, play like you're asleep. Woke him up, punched him, said, play like you're asleep. And that's the last thing she ever said to him. That bear grabbed him, bit through his arm, almost totally severed his arm from the shoulder, dragged him about 30, 40 feet over there, bit him in the head, bit him around various places in the body, tore him up, and left him and went back to her sleeping bag. And grabbed her sleeping bag and the whole thing and drug her up through the woods. People up in the chalet heard her screaming. Nobody had a gun. The best flashlight they had wouldn't shoot 20 feet out in front of them. They fixed a tub with fire in it, carried it down through there to try to keep the bears away. Hunting, they found him, bleeding, bloody mess, and got him back up there. They had an argument with the forest people that were there, and the decision was made, we cannot risk going after her. We're not going to risk any more lives going after her. 2 days later, they killed the bear. And they cut his guts open. They found her. They found her. Her intestines and all of her vitals was eaten. Her face was eaten away. And they've killed that bear. They cut him open. There's a ball of her hair inside that bear's stomach. Are you listening to me? You cannot kiss the snake without the snake swallowing you. You get that close to him, he's going to swallow you. Some of you today, you're kissing the snake. The snake's kissing you. You're going to say, oh, it's going to be better. Yeah, it's going to be better. You got all this betterness in your mind. Oh, it's going to be better if I keep kissing the snake, it's going to be better. It sure sounds good. I'm going to tell you right now, if you continue the path you're headed on this day, 10 years from now, you will weep and cry your heart and soul out. Let me tell you another thing. That same night, August the 12th, 1967, never had been a bear attack in that park in all those 50-some years, 20 miles away, six other young people were sleeping out. They had already seen the bear earlier. They had moved their camp. They were told, don't stay out here tonight. That bear is out to get people. He's too close. They didn't pay any attention. They moved their camp a few yards away, thought if they got away from the food, they'd be just fine. And again, at this, almost the same time, the same night in 1967, two young girls were killed by bears and hadn't been anybody to. But you know what? There were six young people and five of them climbed up in a tree. And I'm going to tell you a little story. Don't ever take a little dog with you hiking through Glacier. She had a little dog with her and she had put it down in that sleeping bag. And that bear, she's the one he got. And that bear killed her. And I'm just saying this to you tonight. God in nature and in life gives you all kinds of examples. You don't play with that stuff. You don't. I'm going to tell you something. Here a while back, with his son, Bob and his son walking down in Disney World, walking out in a lagoon, and all of a sudden an alligator. You hear about finding their body parts and cut them alligators open and finding parts of them. I'm going to tell you, I don't want people in this church 5 years, 2 years, 10 years now, I don't want that the judgment you opened up, and I'm telling you something, to find out Satan swallowed you. Satan's going to get you. I don't know what else to say to you this morning other than this. That's a message that God gave me. Quit kissing the snake that's going to swallow you. Amen. Quit kissing the snake that's going to swallow you. Amen. Go home, make some decisions today. Get serious. Don't you slough this message off. Amen. Don't you say, that's just Reggie. Now, I want to tell you one other thing. Don't you go home today and say, Reggie's after me. I'll tell you who's after you. God, your Heavenly Father's after you. Amen. And this may be the last time, maybe the last warning God's going to give you before you let that snake, before that snake's mouth closes in on you. I pray to God you'll listen to the Word of God today. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, as best I know, I preach what you want me to preach. Lord, you know I wanted to preach a happy message, a joyful message. Getting back, Lord, my first Sunday since being gone. Wanted to preach something to kind of lift these folks up and give them a little, Lord, strength for the journey. But God, you know what's best. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, there'll be a vision in the minds of these people of a snake swallowing a rabbit. Oh, God, the rabbit wished he'd never got close to the snake. Please, Lord, put it in the hearts of people to know that Satan's not playing a game with them. He means to destroy him. His kisses are deceitful. And, Lord, I pray today that you'd help me to practice what I preach in every realm. God, today I pray that there'd be a good spirit of reception and not rejection to this message. And I pray, Lord, folks would get alone with you somewhere, do some business with God, get serious and get right, repent. God, please. I'm sorry, Lord, I haven't preached any harder than I've preached. And I'm sorry, Lord, I haven't preached on sin more than I have. But, oh, Lord, all the preaching I could ever do, unless the power of the Holy Spirit travels with it, will only make these people hard and callous. So I beg of you in Jesus' name today, Lord, that the sweet Holy Spirit of God will do the true preaching within the hearts and minds. And I thank you for what you do. And God, may you be glorified in the church in Jesus' name. Amen.